Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.
Obama and Clinton in Los Angeles. Hello again, I'm Armin Alney, and this is Which Way LA, KCRW's ongoing series on the issues Southern Californians care about. It's more and more likely that a Barack Obama will be the first African American nominated for president by a major American party. Conversely, Hillary Clinton probably won't be the first woman. Tonight, what's the psychological impact of this historical moment in LA's black community, where Obama has not been the unanimous choice? What about politically minded women, for whom it's gender that counts? On Reporter's Notebook, holdouts for Clinton in Hollywood. First, here's the news. Foreman Only back with Which Way LA on KCRW. Hillary Clinton's looking for a big win tomorrow in West Virginia, and she claims she'll have totaled more popular votes than Barack Obama by the time it's all over. That would have to include votes from Florida and Michigan, which still are in legal limbo. In any case, most of the surveys say that Obama now has more elected delegates and more superdelegates, and that he has wrapped up the nomination. Earl Ofari Hutchinson's latest book is The Ethnic Presidency: How Race Decides the Race to the White House. He also hosts a regular Obama Watch Roundtable at the Lucy Florence Coffee House in L.A.'s Leimert Park. As always, Earl Ofari Hutchinson, welcome to our program.
Well, as always, Warren, thank you for having me.
What about this? This is going to be history, if in fact it happens. How do you feel about it? What are people saying about it at the Obama Watch Roundtable?
Well, I have to tell you this, at the Obama Watch Roundtable, it's probably not a scientific or maybe even anecdotal survey, because the overwhelming majority of those that come in right away when they come in with their Obama T-shirts, their Obama buttons, their Obama caps, I think that pretty much tells you where they stand. However, the whole point of this is not just to cheerlead Obama, but to be a little bit more proactive in terms of looking at the issues, looking at the things that he has emphasized and certainly that are being emphasized by both Democrats and Republicans during the election, not only the nomination process or battle that's going on between he and Clinton, but also what we can look forward to in the fall, what will be the determining, deciding issues. And I have to tell you that there's not a lot of information, and we encourage people to go to the websites, but there's still not a lot of information that people are coming to the table with to inform themselves. For example, the Iraq War, positions on that, Social Security, Supreme Court appointments, health care, issues involving the criminal justice system. These are defining issues, and we think people should be well informed about them, not just with Mr. Obama or Hillary Clinton, but also John McCain, too.
You have written, and you haven't been hesitant at all to be critical of Barack Obama and people who support him. You've written about the Black Obama Thought Police. What do you mean by that?
Well, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, one of the popular talk show hosts, Tavis Smiley, who does a regular commentary on a very popular radio show, was essentially put out to the point where he said, I'm going to resign from my position as a commentator on this radio show because I'm just getting so many hits from so many people about Obama. The point being, and he was making the point, that he's certainly not an Obama or Hillary, even McCain supporter. He's a commentator, but the fact is he tried to be objective, tried to bring up some critical points. It was just seen as something by the more fervent, let's put it that way, Obama folk, that as being critical of Obama. I have gotten that too, Warren. And I write for the Huffington Post and a number of other publications. And essentially, as a political analyst, I try to do my job, not cheerlead or be an advocate, but an analyst, looking at the positions, looking at the issues, looking at the candidacy, looking at their prospects. These are the things that a good analyst should do. However, I got to tell you, when you do that on the part of some partisan or more rabid, fervent partisans, they're seen as being attacking their candidate, in this case, Barack Obama. It's nothing of the sort. It's just picking apart some of the issues and some of the things and concerns in the candidacy and the campaign that I think people need to be aware of.
You've talked about absolute dogmatic, unyielding Obama mania. So once again, obviously, you're trying to introduce an element of analysis, as you say, into the equation. Nonetheless, What about all these people with their T-shirts and their caps and so on? Aren't they talking about something that would be an extraordinary moment in the history of the United States?
And I'm very sensitive to that, too, and we should be sensitive to that. In fact, there are two extraordinary moments, potentially. It appears that one will not happen if certainly we look at the polls and we look at the number of delegates in support. Namely, this would have been the first for a woman if Hillary Clinton got the nomination, or by some act of God or miracle still gets a nomination. Certainly it would be an historic first if Barack Obama gets it, an African American. But once again, Warren, having said that, that's fine to look at historic first, but we still have to look at the business of running the country, and we still have to look at the business of winning a campaign and winning a presidency. That does not abrogate our responsibility, history notwithstanding, to be very, very precise about some of the issues, problems, concerns that are brought up by not only the candidacies of these two historic individuals, but also generally what voters are looking for, what we should be concerned about, and more particularly, what does Mr. Obama and what does Mrs. Clinton, what do they offer if they in fact are elected?
Your book, again, is The Ethnic Presidency, How Race Decides the Race to the White House, based on what is suggested by that title. Do you think that in the event that Barack Obama is the nominee, John McCain is going to get a lot of votes from the African-American neighborhoods in Los Angeles?
Well, he's not. We certainly wouldn't make any difference whether it was Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. As we well know, going back 50 years looking at voting patterns and demographics in this country, every Democrat, doesn't make any difference whether they stepped in from the moon, is going to get 80 to 90% of the African-American vote. Obama, obviously being an African-American, and the enthusiasm about an African-American tracks those numbers up even higher.
But do you have to feel that a little bit yourself?
On a personal level, certainly I'm happy at the historic first. I'm happy that there's some barriers. You know, we always have to take pride, and we take joy in that. But once again, I cannot suspend my duty as an analyst to look at some of the criticisms in the campaign, even with Barack Obama.
Well, Earl Afari Hutchinson, as always, good to have you with us, and good luck.
Take care, Warren.
Again, The Ethnic Presidency, How Race Decides the Race to the White House, The Huffington Post, also The Daily News, and the Obama Watch Roundtable at the Lucy Florence Coffee House in Leimert Park. Aaron Aubrey Kaplan is a freelance journalist, contributing editor to the L.A. Times. Some years ago, in an essay titled Blue Like Me, she wrote about the ongoing depression among black Americans because, and this is a quote, being black is still the least advantageous and most repugnant state of being. Aaron Aubrey Kaplan, always good to have you on our program, and there is nothing repugnant about you. Let me assure our listeners.
Gosh, did I really write that one?
Yeah, well, apparently you did, yeah, back okay. In the year 2000. Okay. What about it? What's your take on this as a moment for you and African Americans and other Americans?
Well, I just think it's amazing. I mean, I wake up every day and really can't quite believe that Obama's as far along as he is. I understand Earl's point about how we have to look at the issues, particularly African Americans. We still have a lot of issues before us, but my God, this is a really emotional, kind of emotionally confusing moment. I feel I have to pinch myself to, almost every day. It's just, you know, incredible that we're here at this point. At the same time, I feel a certain anxiety, and I think it's shared by other black people, in that, you know, is he going to make it? Is this really happening? And is something bad going to happen? I mean, history is against this, Warren. I mean, we have certainly not had an African-American come this far. And bad things have happened historically to black people or black communities that do too well. So I won't go into detail about that, but, you know, it's almost like watching some kind of reality show. Well, I suppose it is a reality show, and we don't know what the outcome will be because we've never had this kind of contest before.
You are not only an African American, you are also a woman. Yeah. Does that add to your emotional confusion?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I can be partisan. I'm not a huge Hillary fan, and I'm very comfortable supporting Obama. So I didn't really have that conflict. But I have to say, you know, this sort of tension that's developed between, you know, the feminists and those who support Obama is really quite ugly. And when we have the sudden, we have this kind of debate about the primacy of race versus primacy of gender. And I kind of knew it was coming, but it's really, we have not seen the end of that yet. And that kind of sort of competition is unfortunate, but, you know, it's kind of to be expected.
What's ugly about it, and what do you mean when you say we haven't seen the end of it?
Well, I mean, you know, I happened to have seen a documentary on the 1972 candidacy of Shirley Chisholm, who you might remember ran for president.
I do.
In 72, and Gloria Steinem and other feminists were very among her supporters. And it was really, of course, you know, she was a very, she was a long shot, and they could afford to support her, but it was a really kind of nice thing to watch. And now what we have are suddenly discussions of, you know, who's more oppressed, and therefore who deserves to be, you know, who deserves the nomination more. And it's a question that's not going to get answered. And so you have these kind of fights among, frankly, I mean, women, and mostly white women, and I think the black women have peeled off from Hillary, not just because of that philosophical thing, but because Hillary and those in her camp have said some, you know, kind of off-putting things about African Americans. So that's what I mean by ugly. And I think the last thing I heard Hillary say in the past week, I think on NPR, when asked about the African American vote, you know, if she got the nomination, you know, how would that go? Because there's been kind of, you know, bad feeling around her, and she said, "Oh well, they'll come around." Something very, you know, like very dismissive like that. So, you know, I think we haven't quite seen the end of that kind of dynamic.
Okay, referring all the way back to 1972, Shirley Chisholm, mm-hmm. a African-American woman who was a Congress member from the state of New York. Aaron Aubrey Kaplan, again, is a contributing editor to the L.A. Times. Hillary Clinton, of course, insists it's not over yet. The Clinton campaign is going to hold a fundraiser here in Los Angeles on Thursday night at the Century Plaza Hotel. Marsha Herman is co-founder of the Women's Political Committee, founded 32 years ago to support pro-choice Democratic women candidates in California and the rest of the country. And Marsha Herman, good to have you on our program.
Thank you, Warren. It's very nice to be here.
Do you agree that there has been ugliness, that we haven't seen the end of that? And how do you feel about this issue of the first woman as opposed to the first African-American?
Well, for me, who's been waiting 32 years for a credible woman candidate to run for president, I did not support Shirley Chisholm or Karen Mosley Brown because I didn't feel they were credible candidates, but Hillary Clinton was. And I've been very excited about her candidacy. And it's not that I was opposed to Obama. It was that I had my candidate and I wasn't looking for anybody else. When she decided that she wanted to run, that was it. And for me, and I think for many women, the issue has become the press has taken a love, they've taken some kind of Obama Kool-Aid. And we have felt, and I have felt, I'll just speak for myself, although in the current issue of New York Magazine, actually, Kurt Anderson addresses this issue and says he's one of the press that fell in love with Obama immediately, and everybody he knows did. And so we have been fighting this fight about where is the press and where is the fair, equal treatment of these candidates. And from the get-go, they built Obama up. And I hope, because it looks like he's going to be the nominee, that they don't desert him in the general. Because to me, it's very important that we have a Democrat elected. And I have been very outraged at the press, those people who have been calling for her to get out. I'm not talking about the bloggers. That's their role. But the press, to talk about her getting out when, if you look at the history of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, even as far back as 76, Gerald Ford Ronald Reagan challenged Gerald Ford all the way to the presidents, all the way to the Republican convention, and in 1980, Ted Kennedy challenged Jimmy Carter, et cetera, et cetera. 84, Gary Hart. So we have a history in our country of a long challenged electoral process, and to me, Hillary Clinton has made Barack Obama a stronger candidate by the length of this, and the electorate in this country has never been more vital, more engaged, more excited about. Do you think the voters of Indiana and now this week, you know, West Virginia and Kentucky want to call this off? I think they're really pretty excited that they finally have some say in this process, and I think it's been good for our country, and I think eventually it will be make the Democratic Party stronger in the fall.
Is it going to be painful for you if, in fact, Ms. Clinton doesn't get the nomination?
Very painful. It will be very, very hurtful.
And
there's no question.
Do you think there will be bad blood between various Democrats as a result?
Well, I think that those women that are polled, or the electorate that is polled when they leave the, like you heard on various CNN is what I was thinking of, when they poll the exit polls, people say, particularly Hillary supporters, over 50% of them said they would vote for McCain, or they would vote for or not vote at all. I think it's really a response to how they feel Hillary has been treated by the press. And I think the fact that she is going to go on now and win, I hope, in West Virginia, win in Kentucky, hold her head high, having conducted a very successful campaign. She's won in all the major states that any Democrat needs in order to win the election in the fall. And it's quite incredible that a candidate that has won those states, starting with California, New York, Texas, Ohio, I could go on, Pennsylvania, and I would count Florida in this case too, that she's not going to get the nomination is quite astounding. But I hope, I really hope, and I think that Hillary Clinton will be a part of the movement to bring everybody back in the fold.
Okay.
And that's my hope for our country.
Marcia Herman with the Women's Political Committee here in Los Angeles. Erin Aubrey Kaplan, back to you. Do you feel that the press has drunk the Kool-Aid when it comes to Obama? Has he had an unfair advantage?
No, I think we're living on two different planets here. I think he's been under a lot of scrutiny, especially the last month with the whole Jeremiah Wright issue. I don't understand this thing of him getting a free ride in the press. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. And I just want to speak again to the primacy of race in this whole campaign, as Earl started out talking about, which is, you know, one of Hillary's arguments now is sort of kind of openly, you know, I can win the white vote. We tend not to talk about the white vote. There is certainly one, and it's just not really recognized. And I think, you know, that's more racial, shenanigans that I am not surprised by, but it's just kind of ugly to see.
Marcia Herman, what do you say to that?
I say that when people talk about the demographics of an election, that's how you analyze elections. And so if Sam Donaldson on ABC talks about what the white working class voters, that's a democratic demographic, and we need those voters to win in the fall. And I don't think it's anything more or anything less. That's how we view elections. We say, how many percentage of the black vote did he get? How many percentage of the upper class, you know, educated white people did Obama get? So that's just election talk. That's
okay.
Just how
Erin Aubrey Kaplan, back to you. Final question,
yeah,
if I
sure.
may. What about that depression you talked about a few years ago in your column? Mm. Do you think that will be lifted if, in fact, Obama is successful?
You know, I wish I were true, Warren, but I don't think so, because we're living in a time of a great paradox. We have a moment where Obama might be president. We also are at a moment where we have a lot of very sobering statistics out there for black Americans, employment, education, all sorts of things, despite the rise of the middle class. So if Obama's elected, will that solve our problems? No, it would be a huge symbolic boost, but frankly, we have a whole history of elected officials, some of whom are black, who have not translated into better times for black people. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay, and many of whom, I might add, too, did support Hillary Clinton, and many of them still are. So a lot of divisions in this situation as we go forward. Erin Aubrey Kaplan, again, at the LA Times, and Marcia Herman at the Women's Political Committee, thank you both for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
Thanks also to Earl Afari Hutchinson, our earlier guest. We'll be right back to talk about Clinton holdouts in Hollywood on Which Way LA.
For more information about Which Way LA or to sign up for the free podcast, visit kcrw.com/whichwayLA. CD copies are also available. Call 1-800-600-KCRW.
We're only back with Reporter's Notebook on Which Way LA. Harvey Weinstein, co-founder of Miramax, now running the Weinstein Company, has denied a CNN report that he threatened House Speaker Nancy Pelosi if she refused to support Weinstein's proposal to finance new voting in Florida and Michigan. Jeffrey Restner is West Coast correspondent for Politico.com, focuses on Hollywood and politics. Jeffrey, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Warren.
The threat was that, allegedly, that Harvey Weinstein would withdraw money for Democratic candidates. He never said any such thing, he claims, and the CNN report is right. But there's a lot of residual support for Hillary Clinton, is there not?
Yeah, there sure is. People who have been behind Hillary all this time are hanging in there. They decided not to jump ship and go over to Obama, like a lot of people in Washington have done. They're waiting the all clear sign from Hillary herself, and then once she gives the go ahead, there'll probably be some sort of migration.
She is seriously in debt at the moment. Do you think that there's going to be a big turnout at this fundraiser on Thursday night at the Century Plaza?
Well, last week the tickets were half sold, and she usually does very well in Los Angeles. So it wouldn't be surprising to me to see a lot of her supporters come out and have a final goodbye appearance, as it were, and support her and donate some money to her, relieve the debt.
Harvey Weinstein, big name in Hollywood. Who are some of the others that are behind Hillary Clinton?
Well, Hillary has a very loyal base here in Los Angeles, including Robert Reiner, Steven Spielberg, Steve Bing, Ron Burkle. A lot of people have been very loyal to the Clintons over the years, and they remained that way.
On the other hand, Obama hasn't done too badly in Hollywood either.
No, Obama's gotten a lot of newcomers to the political process. A lot of young Hollywood has turned out in droves for Barack Obama. And Hillary has done all right in that regard as well. Actually, they're almost neck and neck when it comes to contributions from the entertainment industry. A few $100 is pretty much all that separates them, believe it or not.
Do you think that there will be a residual animosity as a result of these divisions and the fact that it's gone down so close to the wire, or will the Hollywood people learn to live with each other?
No, Hollywood is very liberal, and I think that they'll do anything to make sure that John McCain doesn't get the presidency. So I think whatever ill will or bad blood there's been between the Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton camp over the last few months, I think that will be mended fairly quickly, and they'll unite to engage against McCain. McCain obviously has his own supporters in Hollywood, ranging from Jerry Bruckheimer to Sylvester Stallone and quite a few other conservative people here. So it's not completely liberal town, but it's fairly a stronghold for Democratic politics.
How much support did Harvey Weinstein have, do you think, or does he have, for financing a new vote in Florida and Michigan?
Mr. Weinstein has a lot of very rich friends, so it wouldn't surprise me in the least to see that he could rally enough financial support to hold new elections in Florida and Michigan, but it doesn't look as though that's going to happen. But Harvey himself, I don't think he would be able to finance it, but he certainly could corral enough support from the Hollywood and other moguls and various other businesses that he's familiar with to do that if it was allowed.
Is there at all a generational difference in Hollywood between those Democrats who support Clinton and those who support Obama?
Yes, there is. I would say most of the old guard have been very loyal to the Clinton camp. Obviously, you have some people like David Geffen, who was very, very much a Clintonista, and he's gone over and was one of the first people in Hollywood to support Barack Obama. But I think if you're talking about the actors and actresses, most of the younger generation are coming out for Barack Obama, and then some of the older studio executives, directors, and sort of the older guard have remained loyal to the Clintons.
You mentioned that, of course, there is Republican support for various candidates, including McCain, in Hollywood. But traditionally, has Hollywood been more Democratic than Republican, or do we just hear more about the Democrats?
Oh, no, it's definitely a more of a Democratic stronghold. I would say in the entertainment business, probably 90-95% of people who are politically active are liberal or come out for the Democrats, and it's a very small minority that will really back conservative candidates or causes. And a lot of the people who are in that conservative frame of mind are not always, voicing their opinion because of the great majority that the Democrats have in this town.
Okay, Hollywood and politics, always a fascinating subject. That's your beat, Jeffrey Ressner. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Warren.
West Coast correspondent for Politico.com. Which Way LA, produced tonight by Francis Anderton with Christian Bordahl. Our technical director is Mike Newport. I'm Warren Olney. Join us again for Which Way LA on 89.9 KCRW.
Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.